Good morning, Houston, and welcome to Feeling Better Naturally with Dr. John Trowbridge here on Star 790 KBME for the best medical updates ever. Each Saturday from 6 to 7 a.m., we'll share with you practical preventive medicine, steps that you can take, starting right away, to regain and maintain better health. Each week, we'll update you on books you need to read, whether written by me or by one of my many friends in what's called complementary or integrative medicine. We'll update you on what you need to know to stay healthier today. We'll share interviews with patients and with experts. So get your pen and paper ready now so you won't miss ideas that you want to remember, and write down topics that you'd like to hear more about, authors and experts you'd like for me to interview for you, so you remember to share these with us for future programs. We'll be talking about what you can do to get out of your pain and get on with your life. I've researched and practiced here in metropolitan Houston for 25 years, never believing that you're suffering from a deficiency of one or more drugs or that an operation is probably your best answer. Whatever ails you, God built your system to repair itself and to restore more normal function. That, in a nutshell, is the whole buzz on the topic of alternative or holistic medicine that you've been hearing about these past few years. Drugs and surgery can be helpful, but true natural healing depends on three factors. First, find what's blocking you from feeling better and remove it. Second, find what trace factors you might be missing but you need for repair and provide them. And third, find what switches need to be turned on and then turn them on. We'll share practical pointers to help you improve with the most common problems seen in doctors' offices. Practical preventive medicine updates to help reduce your risk factors for the most serious diseases that claim our comfort and then our lives. And practical ways to reduce your risks and improve your results with drugs and surgery that you might need. As I've said for years, when life is your choice, failure is not an option. So learn more today on how you can succeed. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us in chapter 1, verse 9, that there is no new thing under the sun. So let's see what we might learn from those who've walked the path ahead of us. Herbert Agar says, "The truth that makes men free is for the most part the truth which men prefer not to hear." And indeed, that is so relevant to today's topic. Richard of Fredericksburg was driving through Houston during our first show and emailed requesting more details on diabetes. So let's turn our attention to this. Richard, this show's for you. You know, diabetes is a common, serious, and costly disease that poses a major health problem in our state and around the nation. Now, it turns out we're waiting for a cure for this devastating disease, but people are suffering every day, and the terrible cost in human suffering in dollars is really quite dramatic. It's one of the most common ailments in America. Over 16 million Americans suffer from diabetes. And each year, at least 650,000 more Americans learn that they have diabetes. Complications can include eye disease and blindness, skin and dental problems, feet problems, including amputations, stroke, gastrointestinal gut problems, heart disease, sexual concerns and dysfunction, kidney disease, neuropathy, that's when your nerves turn against you and send all sorts of strange signals, and psychosocial complications. That means all the adjustments your life goes through when you find you're devastatingly ill. Studies have found death rates to be twice as high among middle-aged people with diabetes as among middle-aged people without diabetes, so this show's for you. Based on death certificate data, diabetes contributed to almost 200,000 deaths in 1996. It's the seventh leading cause of death in the United States in terms of death certificates, but it's dramatically underreported. More people die each year from diabetes than die from the combined numbers of deaths from AIDS, breast cancer, and automobile accidents in the United States. Now, when you talk about diabetes facts, there's some things you need to know. Type 1 diabetes. This results from the body's failure to produce insulin, the hormone that unlocks the cells of the body and allows glucose to enter and fuel them. And about 5 to 10% of Americans who are diagnosed with diabetes have type 1 and are usually discovered younger in life. Type 2 is the more common one. It results from an insulin resistance condition where the body fails to make enough or to properly use the insulin, and that can combine with a relative insulin deficiency, so your cells aren't being told to take in enough sugar to run their operations. And approximately 90 to 95% of the people in this country have type 2 diabetes. Now, prediabetes is a condition that occurs when a person's blood glucose level is higher than normal but not high enough for diagnosis of type 2. And probably as many people have the pre-diabetic condition as those who actually suffer with diabetes. And then there's one last one that involves gestational diabetes. In other words, when women are pregnant, they have a relative sugar intolerance. They start raising their blood sugars without even knowing it. And about 135 or more thousand cases are reported in the United States each year. Now, we've been talking about insulin resistance. This phrase entered the pop lexicon a few years ago, but hardly anybody knows really what it means, and some of the prescriptions for dealing with the problem, some of the advice given by doctors actually makes it worse. Gerald Reaven was a professor of medicine at Stanford University, actually still there as an emeritus. I first met him in 1968 when he was doing research as a young professor on hypoglycemia. That was the buzz disease of the 60s, and that's where your blood sugar actually drops too low. And in the course of his research, he documented that indeed if you do enough blood tests and follow people long after eating a sugar-loaded meal, you can see in many people the blood sugar drops too low, substantially too low, where they start getting funny sensations, weird feelings, their mental functions are compromised and so on. Well, in looking at this, he was trying to figure out, well, what are the insulin levels involved in this? So he found that in the medical literature where there was very little information on insulin levels, normals, in other words, something to compare against. So he got a variety of medical students and medical residents and professors who had no diabetes history, no problems with their family. And he drew blood levels and found that their fasting blood sugars were indeed normal. That's in the morning when they first wake up before food. But their insulin levels were all over the map. There were some who had what appeared to be a normal level and others who were as much as 10 times normal. Now, he began looking at how to explain this, and he called that an insulin resistance pattern, where you needed more insulin in order to just keep your blood sugar normal. And ultimately, he termed this Syndrome X. Now, this isn't Generation X, but it's certainly one of the major problems in Generation X. Syndrome X was a once mysterious killer of millions. Someone with Syndrome X has very high insulin levels along with high blood fats, that's cholesterol and triglycerides, and unusually small and dense particles of LDL cholesterol, the dangerous stuff, that's low-density lipoprotein. Diets that are high in carbohydrates or protein actually lead to more insulin production. Dr. Reaven says this starts a chain reaction in people with Syndrome X that leads to damaged arteries and eventually to heart attacks. Sounds like diabetes, doesn't it? Well, actually, Syndrome X is apparently the way by which we develop type 2 diabetes. So don't confuse the two. They're actually a merging part of the puzzle. And Dr. Reaven, since the late 1960s, has been methodically piecing this together. And what he's shown is that you don't have to be fat to have insulin resistance, nor are fat people necessarily insulin resistant. Although about one quarter to one third of Americans do have insulin resistance, it's not usually the people you think that have it. Those who are greatest at risk are those of non-European origin. The solution to the problem starts with a low-carbohydrate diet that's high in unsaturated fats like fish and nuts and oils and so on. Reaven also recommends the usual suspects, more exercise, no smoking, and less drinking. And the payoff for this, of course, is a longer, healthier life. This sounds just like diabetes, doesn't it? Well, what we're going to talk about today is actually a diabetic pattern. We're going to be talking with a patient who has shown that discipline, along with the proper guidance and really understanding your own condition, is how to get better. When we talk about insulin resistance syndrome X, when we talk about diabetes, we're talking about these things caused primarily by a diet high in refined carbohydrates, which probably include many of your favorite and frequently eaten foods like cereals, muffins, breads and rolls, pastas, cookies, donuts, and soft drinks. Remember I said you wouldn't particularly like the truth, but this is the truth that you need to know. The refined carbohydrates not only raise sugar and insulin to unhealthy levels, but they're lacking in many of the vitamins, minerals, and vitamin-like nutrients that our bodies need to properly utilize these foods. In other words, they are empty calories. The time is about 10 past the hour, and you're listening to Feeling Better Naturally with Dr. John Trowbridge on Star 790 KBME, the best medical updates ever. Your extended health forecast is brought to you now by Life Celebrating Health in Humble near Bush Intercontinental Airport. Our crystal ball shows clear to partly cloudy with the winds of change blowing. If you're choosing to make changes to regain and maintain better health, sunny skies are coming your way. If you don't know what you can do, or if you're not changing anything and simply hoping for the best because you've been feeling good, no problems, then partly cloudy to stormy skies are on your horizon. At Life Celebrating Health, you can depend on us as partners in your health care, and we'll design personalized programs to help keep your days sunny. Call for a telephone consultation with one of our treatment assistants, no fee, no obligation. Just dial 1-800-FIX-PAIN. That's 1-800-FIX-PAIN, 1-800-FIX-PAIN. Ask to receive our free newsletter, just share with us your email address, or send your questions to us through our internet website, www.healthchoicesnow.com, because unlike the weather, you do have choices for better health. Today, we'd like to discuss diabetes. It was one of the topics reviewed in the book that we recommended should be on your bookshelf, Dr. Atkins' Health Revolution, we reviewed last week. And we're joined today by a wonderful gentleman, Mr. William Turk from Houston. Bill, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you this morning?
Oh, doing great, and I'm glad to hear you this morning. We'd like to review with you, if you don't mind, the problems in your health. I know that you started out kind of unsuspectingly.
Well, yeah, one might say that, although I had been a diabetic for about 10 years. You know, I'd been following all of the American Diabetic Association programs and making my doctor visits on a regular basis and eating like I was supposed to. However, you know, I was at over 300 pounds, slightly over 300 pounds, and was taking 5 blood sugar pills a day. When the doctors told me that, you know, it looked like I might have to go on insulin. And then about that time, I changed doctors. I was seeing a doctor that saw 70 patients in an 8-hour period, and I decided I needed a little more attention than that. So I went to another doctor who gave me a stress test, and they decided that there was a possibility I might have the beginnings of heart disease.
Well, that, of course, is one of the things people expect with diabetes, but you've been following the program, right?
Yes, sir.
So you're not supposed to develop stuff like that, right?
Well, that's kind of what I thought. Besides that, I was still, you know, in my younger life of being immortal.
Aren't we all?
So, you know, it was kind of a, you know, I started out, you know, realizing, okay, well, I need to lose weight. They tell you diet and exercise, you know, and you'll lose weight, et cetera. So I went on a diet, and over a period of a year, I lost about 35, 40 pounds.
That's excellent.
And during that period of time, I was doing this by taking Zenical, which is a fat blocker.
That's not excellent.
Well, that's true. And prior to finding you, Dr. Trowbridge, I had messed up my digestion system to the point that I was not digesting a large amount of food properly, and I was suffering from diarrhea about 3 or 4 days a week.
That's an irritable bowel syndrome pattern.
Yeah, I was having some real difficulties here, and I began to think that, well, you know, maybe I needed to look at some alternates. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, my wife was had decided that she had candida, and had talked to her to a person in the dental office that she goes to, and they had recommended that she go see you.
Right. Now, that's for yeast as a problem for health.
Or yeast as a problem, yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Well, after a few visits to you, she started telling me what a great thing this would be for me to do.
The better half tells you.
Yeah, well, you know, you get led by the, you know, God works in mysterious ways, and in my case, he gave me a wife that leads me around. She has the patience to wait till I decide it's my own idea, though, but she gave me a book called 40-something Forever and told me to read that and the Rumble and Umble. And with all of this problems with the digestion and with the diabetes getting worse and being on Tricor because the triglycerides had become elevated, which is another thing that happens with diabetes, I decided, you know, what the heck, might as well go see this man. And in the process of reading all of these books and everything, I found that not only are you a medical doctor, but of all things, you've got a master's degree in nutrition. And since it seemed to me that, having been a chemical engineer all my life, it seemed like, you know, most everything that went on in our bodies had something to do with chemical reactions.
It sure does. And, you know, I knew nothing about that basically from medical school, which is why I had to do the advanced training. If nutrition is important, we ought to know about it.
That's the way I had always felt, but then I never found a... Well, the last doctor that I was going to said he could put me with a nutritionist. But that really didn't impress me a whole lot either, because American Diabetes Association has a whole bunch of dietitians, and they're putting out the stuff that I had been following on my diet, which is eat lots of grains, eat lots of fresh fruit, and eat lots of carbohydrates, not the sugars. I was eating healthy, okay? I was eating whole grains. I was eating, like I said, fresh fruits. I was eating good vegetables. They weren't cooked too much and all of this kind of stuff, but I was still having a problem with my weight, and like I said, I was on 5 blood sugar pills a day.
That kind of seems discouraging when you're doing everything supposedly right and the results aren't.
It was very discouraging. I was working real hard and keeping my blood sugar pretty close, but, you know, 5 blood sugar pills a day is kind of doing it the hard way.
Exactly. Plus you were having some protein in your urine.
Yes, I was also having some protein in the urine.
That means damage.
That's the other thing that kind of had my attention going on here. And the other reason that I decided to change where I was headed and at least look for alternates, and certainly, while I wouldn't say that you were alternative medicine, it was certainly an alternate to the medicine I had been receiving.
Exactly.
And, you know, that was the first clue. And then, of course, the first thing that you did, besides, you know, put me on the program and give me some supplements, et cetera, you gave me Dr. Adkins' New Diet Revolution, which you'd mentioned earlier, to read. So I've had a lot of reading assignments.
But, you know, the important thing is that the information really is out there. The medical studies have been done. And if you know about it, you really begin to be much more in control of your health. And that means you're a partner in the healthcare system.
That's correct. And reading, you know, Dr. Adkins' Diet Revolution was kind of like reading 40-something Forever. You know, all of these things started to make sense, you know. And so... the first thing I do is I go out here and I decide, well, I'm going to get on this Dr. Adkins thing because you gave me the book to read. And so I jumped on the program and cut my carbohydrates down to approximately 20 grams a day. However, I hadn't really discussed this with you, and so I kept taking my blood sugar medication.
Oops.
That's exactly correct. The next thing I know, I'm having a... I've had hypoglycemic reactions before, and they've never been a real problem. But I've never gone into a real hypoglycemic, let's call it shock situation, wherein I was running around the neighborhood. People thought I was either on drugs or dope or drunk or something. So they called the constable. And the constable came out and found me lying in a neighbor's front yard, and he immediately put handcuffs on me and called the ambulance. And they checked my blood sugar, and I don't remember exactly, but it was somewhere around down around between 35 and 40.
Looks like the diet works.
The diet seemed to work.
Bill, I'm going to ask you to hold that spot, that idea, and we'll be right back with you. It's now about 20 past the hour here on Stars 790 KBME, the best medical updates ever. We've talked in the past about the Heimlich maneuver and the story about how Dr. Hank Heimlich came up with this wonderful procedure. And I want to talk with you briefly because Thanksgiving is just around the corner. And, of course, with holiday eating, people are talking and busy and doing things. And sometimes there will be choking episodes. And I want you to know how to do this procedure. It's very, very simple. Take your right hand, make a fist. Take your left hand and put it where the soft part of the belly comes right up to the chest. When you're reaching around somebody from the back, reaching around, your left fingers are on the soft part of the belly, and you can just feel the hard part of the sternum, the breastbone, just above your index finger. Take your right hand, which is in a fist, and point your thumb and that part of your fist toward the belly, but you're down below. You're on the soft part of the belly, not on the hard part. Now slide your left hand down onto the bottom part of your fist, the back part where the little finger is. Now you're in the right position, and what you do is a real quick little jerk. Boom, boom. It's like that. It's a real quick, sudden thing, not a squeezing thing, but a little jerking thing. And when you do that little pumping, that's how you can get choking food out of somebody's breathing tube, which is not where it's supposed to be. Also, you might know that with the winter cooling setting in, there'll be a lot more swimming inside the pool or in spas, and people are more likely to drown. It's kind of hard to get air through a tube of water if it's filling up your lungs. You can do the Heimlich maneuver on people who are drowning, and within seconds it's possible to have them breathing again. So this little refresher on the Heimlich maneuver is brought to you courtesy of Life Celebrating Health, and we'd like you to feel free to get more information by going to the website www.heimlichinstitute.org or call them at 513-559-2391. The Heimlich maneuver from my friend Hank Heimlich. And now, Bill, so it's kind of a surprising thing to end up in handcuffs in an ambulance when the best you were trying to do was just control your diabetes.
That's correct. They gave me a shot of glucose, and of course things became got quite stable again, and they were courteous enough to bring me to the house.
That's nice.
And I immediately quit taking all of the blood sugar medications at that point in time.
Well, sure, that's startling to end up in trouble like that.
It was. And the amazing thing was, is while watching my diet, I was able to, and not on any blood sugar medications, my blood sugar was not really bad. I would have episodes where it would get up to maybe 145, 100, never got over 150.
Now, is this when you're fasting in the morning, or is this...
That's when I'm fasting. Well, actually, that's during throughout the day.
Throughout the day.
That I had taken it,
yes. Now, one of the things, let's describe to people what I tell folks with diabetes problems. I want you to take your blood sugar test 4 times a day, before each meal and at bedtime. But it's only 2 days a week that we really need it in order to help control.
Right.
And you know, people say, well, I take it every morning. Well, that's 7 times a week. If you want to take it my way, it's 8 times a week. But it's before each meal and at bedtime. And that gives us a running measure of the sugars through the day, and it keeps people like you out of trouble with hypoglycemia.
That's correct, and it has. I'm a little more sadistic, I guess, than that. I go ahead and do it twice that I haven't done something.
I'm at 24:29. We lost you for just a second there, but we've got you right back. Now, as I understand, you're a little bit more sadistic.
Yes, I guess because of being diabetic for so long, I continue to take my blood sugar a couple times a day. Although I do it 4 times a day, twice a week, to see how it's going through the period of time.
Just to keep your doctor happy.
Just to keep my doctor happy. You know, I don't worry about that with some doctors, but the one I got now, I worry about.
Yes, I only sound nice, right?
That's right.
Well, the popularity contest that I'm in is making sure that you do as well as possible. And your blood sugars lately, describe them for us.
Well, I have not, you know, even though my blood sugars were running between 120 to 135 or so, that really wasn't satisfactory with me. So I talked with you, and we agreed to put me on one blood sugar in the evening. So I've been doing that for several weeks now, and my blood sugar from 90 to 115.
Wow, and that's just on one pill
a
day.
That's on one pill, not five, just one, okay? And I also recently did the hemoglobin A1C.
Right, that's a measure of the last 3 months, what your blood sugar has looked like.
Right, and ADA, American Diabetes Association, recommends that that be below 7.
Right.
Mine was 4.9.
Yeah, actually, we like it below 6. We like it in the fives or so in order to show that your blood sugar has stayed reasonably normal. And if you'll let me just explain for a second to people who need to know, fasting blood sugar, in other words, before you eat in the morning, should be in the range between 90 and 110, and 100 is more normal. And then after you eat, we expect it to go up as high as 180, but not higher. And then, you know, when it stays in the range before meals of 120 to 140, those are excellent. And your numbers are certainly showing that for us with these before meals readings that you're turning in, which are absolutely superb, and the A1C reading, which is superb.
Yeah, I'm quite happy with this. Of course, you know, I might also let people know that the diet is only a part of it, because I'm also now going to the gym and working out for about an hour and a half, three times a week. And I think it's, but that is also a key to regulating your blood sugar.
Oh, there's no question that exercise is very important. Also, we did another interesting thing for you. 10 years ago at the Advanced Training Program in Heavy Metals Toxicology, I presented the story on aluminum, which is one of those things that we find in diabetes. So we went looking for toxic metal patterns for you, and although we didn't find much in the sense of aluminum, we did find lead and cadmium and nickel and some others, eventually mercury, right? So we started on a metal toxicology removal program for you.
That's correct.
And you have had an absolutely wonderful result with that. Of course, that also helps with heart disease and some of the other things like decreased memory and fatigue.
My wife won't agree that there's been any improvement in the memory. However, the fatigue, you know, I'm certainly showing signs of having a lot more energy than I was before. And with regard to the help with the heart disease, again, I was on about 5 blood pressure pills a day before coming to see you. Now, after having been to see you, you have me on one blood pressure pill a day and one every other day, and my blood pressure is running 124/75.
Which we'd call pretty normal.
I've been quite satisfied with that.
Well, you know, we talk about not having a deficiency of medications. What we have is an imbalance in our system, and it sounds like you're following the program to get balanced.
That's exactly what I'm doing what you told me, and I think, you know, and it's working. You know, now a lot of people can hear what somebody says and don't follow it exactly, and then get upset because they don't get the results they expected.
Exactly. We tell people if you do what you've done, you get what you've got.
Well, I was doing what I was told when I was going to the other doctors, and I wasn't satisfied with the results. But I've been doing what I was told since I've been going to you as well, and I am, you know, just thrilled to death with the results. I mean, there's the blood pressure is better. We're getting, you know, like I said, being a chemical engineer, Yes, I was exposed to a lot of the heavy metals back in the days when we didn't realize the significance of it. I got mercury on my wedding ring once upon a time, so I just spread it around. I used to rub mercury on dimes to make them shiny. You know.
Me too.
So, you know, I've had mercury in my system. I had lead in my system, you know, et cetera. But you don't realize how it makes you feel until you start getting rid of it.
Exactly.
And then you start, you know, getting your energy back and golly, feeling 40-something.
That's exactly great. Bill, we'll be right back with you. It's now about 30 minutes past the hour here on Star 790 KBME, the best medical updates ever. Sometimes, especially when our attention is focused on our health problems, we forget that laughter is the best medicine. You know, laughter enables the processing of information in a new way, and new perceptions can lead to different and healthier solutions. A Stanford University psychiatrist, William Fry, documented physiological changes from laughter are similar to intense aerobic exercise. He stated that 100 laughs is equal to 10 minutes of aerobic exercise. So let's give you a joke that's not actually. This one's a true story. A man tried to keep from laughing when a woman released a gasser during a eulogy at a funeral. He held his breath, which caused him to pass out, fall off his chair, bang his head on the floor. Ambulance attendants interrupted the solemn ceremony as they rushed in to whisk the man to the hospital. So learn to laugh more. I'd like to remind you how much this show depends on you to share your questions and ideas with me. What topics do you want to learn more about? What diseases, treatments, nutritional supplements, and tests? Over the past 24 years, I've developed and improved integrated treatment programs to help many people suffering with frustrating illnesses like fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, migraines and other headaches, rheumatoid arthritis and lupus, hypoglycemia and diabetes, as we're discussing today, heart disease, even after heart surgery, and especially with congestive heart failure, shortness of breath, poor circulation and leg pains, decreased memory, ulcerative colitis and other gut problems, frustrating skin conditions, disabling neck and back pain, sports injuries, arthritis, and so on. What disease problems would you like to know more about? And what books do you want me to review? What authors do you want me to interview? Many of the leading authors and newsletter editors in preventive medicine have been personal friends of mine for years. What questions do you want to have them answer? I'll be presenting common problems that are seen in doctors' offices, the very reasons that you make office visits, and giving you practical hints on how you can better take care of yourself for best results. What problems do you want to know more about? In my 25 years of practice, I've become acutely aware that very few people know simple, effective, and cost-conscious solutions are available to help with their problems, and few people realize that several of the problems for which they're seeing different specialists are often related to the same cause. For example, magnesium deficiency, which we reviewed last week, can show as anxiety and insomnia or restless sleep, arthritis pains, constipation, higher blood pressure, worsening heart problems, even poor memory. Correcting what is causing one problem might well give you improvements for several of the problems that frustrate and concern you when you deal with the true cause. That's what this show is all about, and that's what we're all about at Life Celebrating Health in Humble. Feel free to ask for a consultation with one of our treatment assistants. No fee, no obligation. Just dial 1-800-FIX-PAIN. That's 1-800-F-I-X-P-A-I-N. There's a special bonus available exclusively at Life Celebrating Health, our unique cashable voucher program. When you pay for a treatment package, you can receive up to 100% of your money back in 3 years. Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? We'll call for details. We'll be glad to share that with you. Bill, we're very happy you decided to join us today to talk about diabetes, and we're going to ask you, if you will, what your life looks like now compared to what it used to look like.
Well, I'm much more active now than I was before. I feel much better. I'm enjoying myself just a lot more. I mean, it's kind of fun to be alive again.
Isn't it, though?
Yes, it is. And, you know, I've only got two people I can blame for this. Number one is my wife. for making me come see you, and number two is for you taking care of me.
You know, I appreciate that. All we're doing at Life Celebrating Health is finding the ways that God put your system together and the ways that it needs to be kind of tinkered with. We talk about tune-up instead of overhaul.
Well, that's one of the things that I, you know, to change the subject slightly, but made a big impression on me was we talk about heart bypass surgery and all of this kind of stuff where they remove blockages in 6 inches of 60,000 miles of plumbing.
Right.
And you fix the plumbing, you fix the blockage in 6 inches of your 60,000 miles of blood vessels, and it would appear that blockages occur in a lot more of the plumbing than just that.
They sure do.
And I think a good portion of my getting to feeling better is not only the diabetes improvement, but also the blood circulation. I've had neuropathy in my feet and legs, which is an indication of, you know, possibility of poor blood circulation, et cetera. And, you know, I've still got the problem to some extent, but I don't have it as severely as I did before. So, you know, I'm seeing a lot of other things happening in my body besides just an improvement in the diabetes.
Exactly. You know, I think it's also fair to say that you've been under treatment for about 6 months now.
That's correct.
Which is very rapid results. Of course, you're highly disciplined and well-motivated, and, you know, that makes a difference. It doesn't matter what I ask you to do. It matters whether you do it yourself.
That's exactly right. And I tell people, you know, that doctors and medicines and all that can't do it. You've got to do it for yourself. Now, that may involve taking medicines and following doctor's advice, but if you don't do it, then you're not going to improve yourself.
Exactly. Now, you know, one thing I'd like to share with people is something I call the spider web theory of medicine, and that is that if you pull on one part of the web, the whole web jiggles. And you've certainly shown that in terms of, you know, each of the things that we've pulled on with diet, exercise, nutritional supplements, toxic metal removal. You know, some people call that chelation, but it's really a very fancy form of removing toxic metals. Each of these things has had effects in other systems of your body.
That's correct. You know, like I said, I was, you know, had problems with digestion. I would notice undigested iceberg lettuce. You know, I don't have those problems today. You know, not because we treated that problem per se, but because it was a result of treating, pulling the other strings, as you were saying.
Exactly, and it's all tied together, and that's why when you repair your car, from the moment you drive it out from the dealership, the car is getting closer to its next repair job. But when you repair a body, it keeps fixing itself more and more because the instructions are on the inside. All we have to do is turn on the healing.
Right.
You know, one thing you haven't mentioned, but I'd like to boast for you. Would you like to share what your weight loss has been in the last 6 months?
I meant to mention that. Since the last 6 months, I had mentioned I'd lost about 35 pounds in the year previous. I've lost about 55 pounds in the last 6 months.
And, you know, we watch that very closely because weight loss is of concern. And when we talk about weight loss of concern, we don't want people to do it too rapidly. We want them to do it very gradually so that they actually are establishing the patterns to keep the weight off.
Well, let me just say one thing about the Dr. Atkins diet. You know, I've been on as many diets as you can name just about, and there's been problems with them, either with the being hungry all the time or having desires for different things that you couldn't really figure out what it was you wanted. This has been the most comfortable dietary regime that I've ever done, and the weight loss is happening not so much because I'm really trying to lose the weight, because I'm eating everything I want. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about, you know, the meals that I have. I don't get the chocolate chip cookies, all right? But I found that there are low-carb chocolates, so I can still have chocolate once in a while. And, you know, steak's not a bad way to live, nor is grilled salmon on a cedar plank.
You know, those ideas go against conventional ideas.
Oh, yes. Yes, I wrote a little letter and asked the American Diabetes Association what they thought about the Dr. Atkins diet. And they did not give a big, wholehearted approval of Dr. Atkins.
Unfortunately.
But I'm here to tell you that for my case, I think I would have gone to an early grave if I had continued to follow the whole grain government food pyramid.
The ADA, anti-diabetic diet.
Right.
Hold that thought for us, Bill. You know, we sometimes forget that spiritual centering is an important part of healing, getting better and staying healthier. So today's verse is from Proverbs 23:18. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. And indeed, in talking with Bill, we certainly see that that's the kind of thing possible in this life. So, Bill, you were talking about the ADA not having worked for you. What's the experience that you had with other friends who had diabetes problems for the last 10 years like you and were also on those kinds of programs?
Well, most of them are continuing on with developing more and more problems, rapidly, but, you know, over time they increase their medications. They find that they're beginning to have problems with their kidneys or other organs, and, they get more medication. And, you know, I think we're starting to find out that that our society is over-medicated.
Yes.
And I think that, that's definitely was where I was found myself, was over-medicated. And, if you want to look at things, I'm taking more pills now than I was before, but they're supplements. They're natural. They're things that make sure that I get the vitamins and minerals that I need, not just something that a pharmaceutical company is going to make money off of.
Right. And unfortunately, our foods have been so mass-produced, they no longer have as much of the nutrition that used to be in the household garden or the family garden.
Well, there's a couple things that you told me, I guess, or that were in Dr. Atkins' book, etc. One of which is my wife and I shop the outside of the supermarkets now.
Yes.
We go down the center aisles to get detergent and toilet paper, but not down to get anything of health value. And the other thing that I liked was the fact that the comment that all major grocery stores now have a health food aisle, which makes one wonder what's on the other aisles.
Exactly.
And it's very true. You know, I've learned to read a lot of labels.
Self-defense.
Well, my wife just took the allergy test that you have available.
Uh-huh.
And found out that she's allergic to things like raisins and dairy. Well, if you go down and start looking at the labels, it's amazing at what has raisins in it.
Right.
Or raisin grape juice, for example.
Right.
She came home from a trip the other night, and she'd had diarrhea because she'd eaten something. And after she'd eaten it, she looked at it and saw that it had raisins in it. So she had a reaction to this that she'd been having for years but just didn't know it because she wasn't aware of how her body was reacting chemically to these various things. And we find that we don't know what's in the food that they're making for us most of the time now, which is a big problem. And if you walk around the outside edges, you're going to get real fruit, real vegetables that aren't been chemically altered, and meat that is fresh, and things like this. Makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah. You know, when I was a youngin', the things that came in cans were soup and Spam. And now you can get virtually anything canned.
Oh, yeah. Most everything is. You know, if it's not canned, it's been otherwise mutilated and dried and you reconstitute it.
Exactly. Bill, we'll be right back with you. It's now about 45 past the hour here on Star 790 KBME, the best medical updates ever. Betsy and Bel Air called the LCH office asking for more details on poor circulation in the feet. And for your better health, I'd like to share with you this special announcement about the APMA, the American Podiatric Medical Association. You know, about 2,200 new cases of diabetes are diagnosed each day. And according to a recent survey, about 86,000 lower limbs are amputated annually due to complications from diabetes. And of course, you might say that that's not going to happen to you, but quite often it creeps up as a surprise. You know, the key to amputation prevention in diabetic patients is early recognition and regular foot screenings, at least annually, from a podiatric physician. In addition to these checkups, there are warning signs that you should be aware of so they may be identified and called to the attention of the family physician or podiatrist. They include skin color changes, elevation in skin temperature, swelling of the foot or ankle, pain in the legs, open sores on the feet that are slow to heal, ingrown and fungal toenails, bleeding corns and calluses, dry cracks in the skin, especially around the heel. You know, I'm pleased to have been invited as a trustee of the American Medical Student Association to address the House of Delegates of the APMA in 1974 and to have received a special recognition award from their president. What's funny is their current president is an old friend of mine. We met recently at the American Osteopathic Medical Association meeting. We were medical students in our respective schools across the street in Cleveland, Ohio. If you'd like more information on how a podiatrist might help you keep your feet and regain better health, dial 1-800-FOOT-CARE, 1-800-FOOTCARE, or check their website, www.apma.org. Bill, we have a few more minutes to hear more of your perspectives, and it's really fun to talk with you because as an engineer, that's your background, right?
Yes, sir.
You certainly want to look at the way things work, and you found some fun workings with our program.
Yes, I have. As part of the heavy metals removal program, you have us on a regime where we are not supposed to have calcium on days of treatment.
Right.
And I think it was at least two or three of the supplements that I called you up and called to your attention the calcium content that was in them and asked you if that was a problem, and you promptly took me off. So, I try to keep you honest.
I guess that's a good example that sometimes when we're trying to do one thing, we can block the results in another. And even experienced people like me sometimes don't realize that when we start adding all these things together, it really does make a difference.
Yeah, I might also add the fact that in your comments just a minute ago about the feet and everything, if you get on something like the Dr. Adkins and take care of the diabetes and get your exercise and stuff, before you start having foot problems, you're way ahead. I got the neuropathy, which is because of the, make it simple, the sugar congeals itself around the nerve in your feet and keeps them from working properly, so you get a lot of tingling sensation in your feet and lose a lot of sensation. And after that happens, there's not much that anybody can do about it, which is really one of the most discouraging things that I found about the diabetes is, okay, now that I've got neuropathy in my feet, what are we going to do about it? And the answer is, well, we're going to be aware that you have it. and that's too late. You need to worry about the diabetes before. Don't wait. Don't do a Bill Turk and wait for 10 years. I mean, it wasn't that. It just wasn't my time. God hadn't led me in this direction yet, and for some reason that I don't know about. But if you know about it, there's only one person that can take care of it, and my advice is to encourage you to do something about it now before you start experiencing the problems with your feet and legs and kidneys and other parts of your body.
Blood pressure, heart, and so on.
Right.
Mr. William Turk of Houston, Texas, thanks so much for joining us today with your story. We really do appreciate hearing from you.
Thank you for having me. I certainly enjoyed it myself.
Thank you, sir. So what's the take-home message from today's guest? Well, it's simply this. Diabetes can be helped, often dramatically, with treatments beyond what your family doctor or other specialist might offer. You know, foods are critical in the control of diabetes, and when you start looking at foods that contain carbohydrates, the cereal foods, it's a very small amount that contains quite a bit of carbohydrates. When you look at the fruits, apricots and currants and dates and figs and peaches and plums and raisins and prunes, you know, things that we think would be very good healthy foods, but they contain quite a bit of carbohydrate, making your diabetic control harder. Potatoes and sweet corn, sweet potatoes, yams, lentils, these also contain quite a bit of carbohydrate, can make your sugar control difficult. What we'd like to share with you is that there is a simple home test you can do if you're a diabetic or potentially a diabetic, and that's to measure your home blood sugars. Now, obviously, if you're not diabetic, you won't be looking at them, but if you are, do it 4 times a day, before meals and at bedtime, just 2 days a week, and mark your numbers down and see what they look like, because it's really quite interesting that as you start changing your diet, you can start to do better. We recommend Dr. Atkins' new Diet Revolution. We also recommend the Sugar Busters book, which you can get at any bookstore, and that can help give you information that is life-saving and valuable. You know, today's program of Feeling Better Naturally with Dr. John Trowbridge has been brought to you not by the number 7 and not by the letter M, but instead by the book, The Yeast Syndrome, a Bantam Books bestseller since 1986. Ramona in Houston asked if we could share some ideas on how to get and stay better with female yeast infections. Well, we'll do even better than that. Take a listen to these stories. Here's from J.E. and Alvin. Something can be done, and I can do it. I'm happy, functional, and energetic. I'm ready to face the physical difficulties when they occur. I'm also able to face other difficulties in life because my energies are not drained by just staying alive and functional. C.W. in Houston says, my sinus headaches are improving. This is the first time in 5 years that I can say that. KB in Houston says, after 3 weeks of Candida diet and supplements, I was able to return to running 3 miles every other day for the first time in 2 years. And LO in Corpus Christi says, the diarrhea and stomach burning ceased after 1 week on the Phase 1 diet. Phase 1 is very similar to the Atkins program. Aching ears are better, as well as sinus headaches and runny nose. DH in Montgomery says, I've been having severe abdominal pains and sick at my stomach all the time. I now feel wonderful, and I'm pleased that I can eat healthy food without dying. And CW in Baytown said, after being on the Phase 1 diet, I immediately noticed major improvements. No more headaches after 2 days, no bowel problems or abdominal pains. My face also cleared up remarkably. We get the same kind of stories with female yeast infections and other persisting problems. And the story is really quite simple. Levels of sugar, in other words, people with diabetes often have much more problem with the yeast syndrome than other folks. And when we talk about the yeast syndrome, what really are we talking about? Well, it's a generalized yeast infection. The result is a series of chronic disorders affecting the different body systems, your digestive and nervous system, cardiovascular, lymphatic, respiratory, reproductive, urinary, endocrine hormone, and musculoskeletal systems. The organism that causes the yeast syndrome is now commonly called Candida albicans, and the Candida syndrome, or as we call it, the yeast syndrome, manifests itself with symptoms throughout the body, can vary over time in one person, and in kind and severity among people. It's an epidemic presently affecting over 80 million American men, women, and children. That's 1 in 3. Incidentally, older folks didn't used to have as much yeast syndrome problem as younger ones, because the younger ones have grown up in a society much more favoring that development. However, as the older folks are starting to show their syndrome X and diabetes patterns, we're seeing more and more problem with it. Candida albicans, the yeast growth that is present in and on most of us, is normally controlled by our immune defenses and by bacterial growth present in and on the body, normal stuff. But when an ecological change takes place internally. In other words, when things get out of balance, helpful bacteria tend to decrease in immune response is then depressed. This allows the yeast to increase in the body, especially in the colon, the large intestine. And these colonies release powerful chemicals or toxins that can be absorbed into the bloodstream and cause these widely varying symptoms, such as severe menstrual cramps and PMS in women. Yeast infections are encouraged, and that's in the skin as well as in the vagina and the mouth. Fatigue, lethargy, chronic diarrhea or constipation, bladder irritation, infections, asthma, migraine, headaches, depression, skin eruptions, and many other difficulties in both men and women. This is not just a female problem. These are often a serious sign of something deeper seated and more dangerous, and this is the yeast syndrome. And I encourage you to read my book, The Yeast Syndrome, How to Help Your Doctor Identify and Treat the Real Cause of Your Yeast-Related Illness. This was published in 1986. It's a fun book to read and gives you lots of details about home health care as well as what you can do from a doctoring standpoint. Unfortunately, many doctors explain to people that this is not really a problem. Establishment-trained physicians often misdiagnose the yeast syndrome, or candidiasis, as it's called, as any of a number of separate illnesses. They don't see this put together, that all symptoms might be part of one disease-type problem. And these conventional practicing physicians are trained to treat individual symptoms rather than seeing the whole person as a package with interrelated problems. So these doctors stick to old traditions in medicine and thus are at odds with pioneer-type physicians who utilize the newer complementary medical methods of diagnosis and treatment. So what happens is, if your doctor misses the diagnosis, it's unfortunate, but you don't get treated. And that, unfortunately, is what happens with the yeast syndrome. These quotations that we've taken out of the book, The Yeast Syndrome, share with you the viewpoint that you really can find something for yourself to get better. And indeed, next time that we're with you, we're going to share some other special features. So, for instance, when your belly turns against you, what millions of Americans face in terms of drugs and surgery, life limitations, and how they can avoid them. Of course, the yeast syndrome is going to be a part of that, but it's much more detailed than that. Today's show is dedicated to the empty chair at the dining table. Thanksgiving is a time for family, and today we remember those soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen, both regulars and reserves, whose chairs are empty this holiday, those who have given their time and efforts, or even their lives, in the defense of liberty. You know, it's important to realize that our lives go on, and our job is to find the very best that we can make of them. Our production engineer today is Mark Fisher. Our production assistant, Catherine Hill, and also Kathy Guyon. Thanks for joining me today to learn more practical pointers that can help you to regain and maintain better health. Audiotape and CD copies of this show are available for your personal reference and to share with family and friends. Simply call 1-800-FIX-PAIN for details. You know, we do intend for you to share with others, because once this broadcast comes and goes, it's gone. But if you get further information and share, you can help save a life as well. I invite your feedback. What do you want to hear more about? What questions do you want answered? Who would you like for me to interview? Please share your ideas by email. That's info, I-N-F-O, at healthchoicesnow.com. Or by fax. That's 281-540-4329. Or by mail. Simply call 1-800-FIX-PAIN for the address, or feel free to call to talk with one of our treatment assistants and let us know what you want to hear or what information we might send you. Receive our free e-newsletter simply by sharing your email address with us, and enjoy the free downloads available on our website, www.healthchoicesnow.com. Our thanks to those of you who came by to join us for our 25th anniversary party, a silver anniversary celebration at Life Celebrating Health last Thursday. We're doing our level best to make life greater for everyone, and we loved sharing with you where better health happens. Remember, if your money, your time, your effort, your comfort, or even your life is at stake, get the very best answers and the very best treatment you can find. Rely on experts who can make sense out of your problems, who have the experience to produce results for you. When life is your choice, failure is not an option. Our message is one of hope for a healthier future, and we aim to produce those results for you. We invite your friends and family to join me next Saturday morning, 6 to 7 a.m. on Star 790 KBME for the best medical updates ever, exclusively on Feeling Better Naturally with Dr. John Trowbridge. Have a great day and a wonderful week.